God speaks to you. But here is just giving you more information. He's giving the information about when he's going to speak to you. And I thought that maybe I would be able to cover the topic in one day. There's no way. At least 2 weeks, maybe more. We have to see. And if he gives me more, it's going to be much longer. And that's generally the way it is. So the idea is this, you know, that this is a general principle that we have to understand when we relate to God. God helps those who love him, not because he's discriminating, because he tries anyway, but because people that don't love him won't get it and won't listen. Because the criteria, the way God created things, the way God made us, is in a way that only when we are lined up in our heart with something, we are going to be able to hear properly. So it's not that God doesn't want to help us. God wants to help anybody, everybody. God wants to save everybody. But does he save everybody? Unless somebody really doesn't understand that they never read the Bible, you know, they will say, well, maybe, you know, he's going to save everybody. You know, evidently he doesn't. He doesn't save everybody. He cannot help anybody unless they are connected with him. And that is a love connection. It's a relationship connection. He wants to have a relationship, a true heart relationship with each one of us. And if we don't understand that, if we don't achieve that, the only thing we're going to have is religion. That means formulas. 1, 2, 3, method. God is not a method, he's a spirit. And he works in a spiritual way, which means it's by principles. When you grasp the principles, you know what he's doing. Praise the Lord. So, see, that's first commandment. That's where everything boils down to. Love the God with all your heart, with all soul, with everything you got, because otherwise you can't connect. You can't hear. People say, I can't hear anything. It's a heart problem. And so the heart has to be ministered. The heart has to change. He talks all the time. Now, that's why God is a jealous God. Because when we have idols, we cannot hear what he's saying. And so he wants us to be able to receive what he has for us, because if you give him a chance, he's going to dump on you. And not in a negative way. In terms of the amount of stuff that he's going to communicate to you is more than you can handle in one shot. And he can do it so quickly. So powerfully. Anyway, so we have to listen, learn to listen when he's... And he talks to us in many different ways. This is not the topic for today. You know, today we are going to talk about how we receive. Okay? How he does. It's another story that by itself is going to take on Sunday. Okay? Now, first concept, first idea, first principle that you have yet to get is that, you know, your flesh prefers religion to obedience. Okay? That means prefers the 1, 2, 3 formula, the 1, 2, 3 messages that don't work anyway. Because they don't deal, because that's just the law. Okay. I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs. verse 21 and expand this concept before we go really into it. Okay? You know, there is no difference between New Testament and Old Testament. God does not change. It's our ability to understand and change, and the fact that we are in a different period of time in which God has a new covenant that makes a difference. That's the only thing. But He is always the same. His heart is always the same. He always wanted the same thing. But He couldn't do it before because they weren't equipped to do it. Now we should be equipped. And that's why He deals with everybody in a different way. I don't know if I can even cover half of what I'm going to preach. Anyway, Proverbs 21:2 says, every way of a man is right unto in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. This is important thing. Why? Because in the heart, okay, is where the communication, is where the things that are spiritual are actually happening. The heart is the place in which, many things, but basically is the place in which are stored all our judgments. Our way we distinguish, we judge something good, something bad, something right, something wrong, something true, something false. Something we agree with, something we don't agree with. And the heart is designed, you know, the way we are made, everything that God does has a purpose. There is nothing done by chance or nothing done by whim or because He likes it this way. No, everything is the best possible way to do things. And not just for one person, not just for one type of one personality, not just for one nation, not just for everybody. God is not, has not preferred people. No matter what anybody says, He is not discerning, you know, respecter of person. Doesn't look at your title, doesn't look at your color, doesn't look at your background, doesn't look at anything. He looks at your heart. And that's what determines if you are connected with Him or not. Why? Because the heart works as a gate. And that gate, you know, all the judgment are there. If we realize them or not, if you are conscious or not, they're all there in our heart. And they filter everything that we are exposed to. They discern, they determine, okay, I agree with this or not. I'm open to this or not. I'm listening to this or not. And sometimes the basis on which these decisions are made is very complicated. We don't know. That's why we don't know our heart very well, but we just see the results. Our heart is like deep water. There are so many things that we can grasp. One of the things is God, for sure, because it's far beyond our ability to even figure out anything about Him. Although we have much information, and we need that much information to be able to connect with Him. I've been saying this for a long time, okay? Unless you know information about God, you cannot connect with Him, you cannot relate to Him, you cannot do anything, so you better start looking about knowing the way He is, the way He works, the way He actually, His nature is. And there is a lot of information on that in the Bible. That's the only source that you can find that. It's not according to your own idea. Even if, okay, the Bible says that even without the Bible, you should have some information about God because just looking at His creation. I'm not going to get into that today. Okay. But God judges you according to your heart. And your heart does the same with God. You judge God if you can trust him or not. You judge God if you are going to be listening to what he's saying or not. And so you are the one cutting off the communication, not him. He's there wanting to download on you everything that he can, that you, your little brain can handle. Okay. But he knows how much you can handle because he knows you better than you know yourself. You don't know how many hair you have in your head, he does. You don't remember all the things that happened to you up to now, today. He knows all the things that happened. No, you know, the most minute thought that you had at any other time of your life. How can you even think about it? Okay, so we have to understand that he understand you and your position much better than yourself. You don't think you can cover or hide anything from God. David said it very clearly, where are you going to go? If I go to hell, you're there. So, God knows everything. It's no use if you don't want, you want to keep it for yourself or not. He has figured it out perfectly well. And he knows what you are going to do tomorrow, because he's outside time, or a year from now, or at the end of your life. And that's why a very important principle that often is misunderstood in theology is the one of predestination is coming in, become important. God is not determining it. You are determining according to your decisions of your heart. But he saw them already. Just because he saw them doesn't mean he has done them. You make the choice, and you have the consequences of your choices. Praise the Lord. So every man, every way of a man is right in his own eye. See why? Because you do things according to your heart. And your heart says, this is okay. That's why I'm doing it. Even if it's completely wrong from the point of view of God or anybody else. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. We're going to have a long road ahead of us. Hallelujah. Now, that means that and the Lord weights the heart. Okay. Then the following verse, 21, Proverbs 21:3 says, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, that, there are other verses that say more or less the same thing. Okay. First of all, you have to define what righteousness is all about. Okay. Where do you start to become righteous? How can you see? Being righteous means you are in right standing before God. That means you are in agreement with what he wants. You are, you know, in a position in which you agree with him. But, you know, I ask you, how are you going to do that? God covers everything. You cover nothing. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know why you make the choices you make most of the time. Or you think you do. Because what it says before, every man is right in his own eyes. That includes women too. And now I'm getting in trouble. my wife is not here, so... Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's good to, you know, have a laugh because things are complicated sometimes. Okay? So, How can we agree with God? How we can we know that we are in agreement with God so that we can say we are righteous? Okay. Well, okay, the only way we know is because of the word of God that we have, we believe in, and this is represent God's ideas. So we have to know the word before we are going to be able to know if we are righteous or not. Do you know all the word? I mean, everything in this Bible? Everything? You know, absolutely not. You know, especially when somebody comes to the Lord, they don't know very much. And they make lots of mistakes. And there are lots of ideas that need, or a lot of judgment they have to change. The only one that had a perfect judgment was Jesus. Because he really thought the same thing that God thought. That's what it said. Okay? So, you know, it says that righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, we have to really try to understand that. But really, okay, the only degree that we can understand for us to be righteous is the things we are conscious about. The things that really we know that we are in alignment with God. Are you following me? This is just logic. You know, God is not illogical. God is completely logical and very simple. We make things complicated because our mind cannot grasp these things. Okay? So the idea is simple. The fact that, you know, only the things we know that God says and we know that we are doing, you know, that we are aligned, our judgment are the same as God, we can say we are righteous. All the other things is darkness. That's our problem. See, we are a mixture of darkness and light. God is all light. Has no darkness in him. 1 John. Okay. So, you know, the more we are going to know the Bible, the more we are going to know God's thoughts, the more we can struggle to align ourselves with him. And I say I have to struggle because sometimes we have different ideas and we have to change those ideas before, you know, in that area we become righteous before him because he knows the heart, he knows the judgment that are contrary to his, so we have to deal with those. So when, for example, you know, David said, you know, I am righteous, you know, before God. He was talking about only about the things that he was aware of. When Job said the same thing, it was only about the things that he was aware of. But there are things that we don't know that God wants to work on. And his desire is to make that our matching, our agreement with him more and more. And this is why our relationship is needed. Because otherwise, if he doesn't talk to us, we don't know anything. He has to talk to us to guide us. And in the Old Testament, that was very difficult to do because the Holy Spirit wasn't inside us. But now, he created it. That's why it took so much time to get until Jesus came so that now we can be born again, so that we can have the Holy Spirit inside us. Who was doing that? Taking a ride with us? He's there to talk to us. He's there to teach us. He's going to guide us into all truth. How does it guide you into all truth? I mean, there has to be communication. You know, prayer is not coming to God with a list of I want. No, it's a question of, Lord, to me, prayer is more important. Prayer is, Lord, tell me what I have to do now. I am not a clue. I know your word, but I don't know where to start. Now, that's the topic for next week. Okay, because we had to have the basis to be able to understand certain things, so you build up brick by brick. You build a house and have to be all holding it together. Otherwise, you cannot make sense. You don't throw a bunch of bricks together, you get a house. Okay? So, you know, righteousness is not coming out of our own work. We have to understand that. We cannot be righteous because we have an idea. Is it the fact that we were able to receive something that God told us that he wanted us to do, and we are responding the right way, and we are aligning our judgment with God's judgment. When that happens, then in that area we become righteous. It's not a question of trying to do the right thing. That's the only thing you can do, because that's your judgment, and your judgment determines your action, everything you do. But that doesn't mean in that area you are righteous before God, because you are lining up with him. And he wants to expand the relationship he has with you. He wants us to grow. That is called sanctification. That means, you know, more and more you think the way God thinks. You become more and more like Jesus. And, you know, that's what our goal is. It's not to just look like Jesus, and not to just to, you know, do the things that he did. It's really to agree with the thought that God has. And he wants you to have. Are you following me? That means that any thought that is not the same as God, that is going to be an idol. Because it's going to control, and you are going to control you in the decision you make, and you don't do the things that God wants. You do the things that these things tell you to do, this desire that are there, this motivation that you have within yourself. And you're going to be not very easy necessarily to give up, because these are the desires that are motivating you. And is God presenting you something that is different? And so it becomes a decision you have to make to change your judgment. But unless you hear from God, if you just read this word, if you just hear a concept that never hit you home, it doesn't do anything. Reading the word and not applying it or connecting it with your own value judgment, with your decision, doesn't do anything until the word becomes meaningful. It says, oh, you know, suddenly I got revelation. Yeah, finally your eyes are open so that you can see, so that you actually heard what God said instead of going according to your own thinking or your own judgment. There has to be a clash there to bring to the surface the difference. And at that moment, or after a struggle, you had to choose to believe him rather than believe your judgment. And what does happen there? You start to grow, you know, in the Lord. The relationship gets better. You know, when you start understanding this process and you see the way God deals with you, okay, one thing that you discover, that he's your best friend. You don't have any friend quite like him. He's the best thing you can ever get. And you care about your friendship with him more than all the others. Idols, other ideas, other wishes, other desire, other things. He becomes the Lord. And the first commandment is fully start. You start implementing seriously the first commandment with all your heart. Because he's everything. Praise the Lord. I'm not going my notes. But that's okay. I never do. So, one thing that that brings up, okay, what you are, you see, your righteousness is connected to your consciousness. What you're consciously aware of. and what your consciousness is aware of. The question is, do you know something that you do that God doesn't like? Or something that God wants you to do and you are not doing? If you are conscious of that, you lost your righteousness. Because you are not righteous before him, because you are disagreeing with him on some things. You know, sometimes some theology is really stupid, and you know, even the people, you can have a PhD and get stuck. Okay. And they make theories according to what should be because they don't understand the word. But we are always on the edge of making a new decision. It's up to us. He will not force us. He gives us free will. We can choose what we do. But according to what we choose, there are consequences. And sometimes we don't like to be in that position, instead of being really grateful to him that he is going to be doing more for us, because that's what he wants. Okay. That means our righteousness is not our work, is his grace that we have been able to receive because we accepted his judgment rather than ours. And that means, you know, people talk about repentance and stuff like that, which is not, oh, sorry, I'm sorry, Lord. We're going to see that that doesn't do it. There is true repentance, which is really dealing with the heart, not the fact only about the feeling sorry that you got caught. And there is false repentance that produces some results. And the false result that you fool yourself. You think was resolved, but isn't. And you can see it very clearly by the fact that you cannot do it yet. Amen? Amen. So, we are not playing religion here. We are not playing formulas. You know, the relationship with God is in spirit and in truth. And we have to learn to walk and operate at that level, because otherwise you get nowhere with God. We're going to see actually examples of that and how serious the thing is, you know. So, you know, a long time ago I did some teaching on conscious living, how important to understand, you know, that we have to be realizing that our relationship with God has to be conscious, has to be just, determined by our own intentions. The same way as God, our relationship with us is determined by his intention. Praise the Lord. Okay. So the degree of righteousness that we have, okay, that means there is right standing with God, is the areas in which the truth that we have received from God, okay, took place because we align ourselves with him. That's the definition that we have to accept. There is no other definition. Okay? And we can lose that righteousness when we backslide. That means when we find out something that I rather do myself my way. And that's going to bring about the separation. Because you're going to go one way, and you're going to pull that way, and he's going to pull the other way. Otherwise, people wouldn't stop backsliding. Why should they? You're getting blessed. Okay? So, how you are unrighteous? Well, there is a following verse that tells us. Proverbs 21:4 says, "A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin." You see, the thing is, these are the sign of wickedness. The fact that you have a wrong judgment, that you want to go your way, and said, no, it's my way. not his way. Okay? So, David, when he said it, you know, according to my righteousness, wasn't talking about that he was perfect, like some funny guy says. He was just simply saying, I don't know anything that I do that is wrong before God. He found out pretty quickly some things that were wrong yet. Are you following me? Good. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we do lots of things that are not pleasing to God and we are not aware of. And we are not sinning. But the very moment when we get the message and we know that is the wrong thing to do, you better do something. You better make a decision. You better align yourself with God. Otherwise, your relationship is damaged. You go your way and God goes the other way and he's trying to pull you. And so what happens is that you know the way kids do when they don't want to hear something. Well, that doesn't help them very much. Okay? Because that the idea is that it's not plugging your ears, is that you don't hear anymore what you should be hearing. And you say, God doesn't speak to me. Hallelujah. So, we are not called to be perfect. We are called to be consciously aware of the things that we do that are not separating us from God, and the things that maybe we do and we have to make decisions about. Now I'm going to give you an example that shows this very clearly and show the consequences of this. Okay, Saul's error. Saul, King Saul, error. That was a major error. Okay, the Old Testament, the only difference between New Testament and Old Testament, okay, is that today God doesn't function, deal with us the same way as he deal with the Old Testament because as a new covenant. He gave it the good news. And the good news are really good news. That means that he's not going to blast us because we make a mistake. It wasn't like that in the Old Testament. And Saul knew something about it. Thank goodness we are not anymore in that predicament. Okay? Now, let me continue here. Okay? He will judge us according to the grace that we have received. Okay, and so, if, you know, the things we have accomplished in your life and the fact that we stay there. Now, in First Samuel 15:13 gives the background. We had to read the background to be able to grasp everything. So then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." That's his perception. You see, that's what he was aware of. Not all. But Samuel said, "What then is the bleeding of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" See, Samuel wasn't confused like Saul was. Saul thought, "I did everything that God wanted me to do." That's what his statement was. Okay? And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekite, for the people spare the best of the sheep or the oxen, and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord God, your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed." This was, you know, Saul's judgment. And he thought that God think like him. So I'm okay. Now, you know, that his explanation wasn't very good because Samuel wasn't convinced by his thinking because he knew better. He was the one that told Saul what God was saying. So he knew exactly what God was saying, and so God spoke to him again. You know, and Samuel said to him, "Be quiet." You know, he was fed up with him after he had been trying to guide him. Okay, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said, "Speak on." Now Samuel explained the situation to him. Okay, explained what, you know, with God doing. So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not the head of the tribe of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel?" Now that was the fact, okay? For God doesn't care less about the way you feel about yourself when you were little in your own eyes. You know, today Christianity has assumed psychological ideas and concepts that are completely contrary to it. Lots of people preach about getting good self-esteem. That's the last thing you need. See, good self-esteem means that you are proud. I feel good about myself. No, you don't need good self-esteem. You need good God esteem. God esteem, see, changes completely your focus. Instead of thinking about yourself and the way you want and the way you think, you care about what God thinks and about you. And if you don't do that, you miss the boat already. That's why I say God esteems the way God judges you. And he judges you according to what? Not the way you think about yourself. You know, that's why you have to be humble. You're not haughty, the scripture I read before. You know, that's the way you are unrighteous. You know, but according to the way he thinks, and the way you want to align yourself with the way he thinks, and consciously you make the choices that way. Are you following what I'm saying? This stuff is really important. This is practical stuff. This is practical Christianity. Is the things that makes the difference between being successful as a believer or not. About wasting your time with religious activity or actually connecting with God. We're going to think more about that, but I will later on. Okay, so now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, "Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed." So that was the position. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? You see, God has spoken to him. God speaks to us. When God speaks to us, what does that do? He reveals his will to us. He opens the word so that we know what he wants us to do. What is our position, our judgment should be. It's not the doing the component. Sin is not happen when you do something. Sin happen when you choose to want to do something. Because it's a spiritual thing, not just the physical thing. The physical thing is just the result. When the spiritual things mature and produce the fruit, you can see the fruit. But the sin is there much before. Unrighteousness is spiritual, not physical. I mean, it's physical too, but it's not that's not the issue. If you don't know, you do those things. And you are not even sinning. You are not separating yourself from God. Oh, don't tell me then. Oh, you're cheating. Are you still with me? I'm speaking the truth. So, then, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you not swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord. So obeying the voice of the Lord is the thing that is critical, the things that he spoke to you, the things that he directed you, the things that you know. But you're going to know him and only, you know, you're going to find all the excuses. You know, excuses don't work with God because he knows the excuses better than you do. Okay? He is not dumb, and he's very smart, much smarter than you are, no matter how much you cover it up. Okay? So, and this is why, you know, you can see how deceived people are sometimes, you know, when you hear, you know, God said something, and you know that no way God will tell you something like that because it doesn't align up with his word. If you know more of the word, you know, sometimes maybe too ignorant to know any better, but, you know, what happens, their idols are speaking, okay? And we must recognize the difference. These people say, how do I know the voice of the Lord? When an idol is speaking, you can differentiate that from the Lord very easily, from the word, because the word gives you the basis. If you don't know the word, well, you are ignorant, and you are going to be sucked in by the enemy. And God expects you to seek him enough to study the word so that you are not going to be doing that. He expects you not to be lazy, because otherwise laziness is your idol. Now, so I recognize the difference, okay? So God has spoken to Saul through the prophet Samuel. He heard it, but he cut off only the part that he didn't want to hear. He wasn't aware of it. And why wasn't he aware of it? You know, it's come up very easily from what? His words. You see, they reflect all the time your judgment. But you don't know the difference, and so you cannot really judge. That's what Samuel 5:15-20. And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the Lord, the voice of the Lord, and gone to the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek, and I utterly destroyed the Amalekite. See, that shows the complete ignorance that he was in, because he just interpreted things the wrong way. Because when we have an idea, we just make God tell the things that we want to hear. Or we just change the thing, interpret things the wrong way. This is the why, how do you get all the heresies? Because people want to know things a certain way, and so you make the Bible, interpret the scripture of the Bible in the wrong way, and they end up coming up with ideas that are really against God. I thought. Anyway, says verse 21, Saul continued, but the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord of God in Gilgal. So you see, he just found a good solution, a good justification of what took place. Okay, well, you know, they did something that was really good. Now they're going to sacrifice to you. This is a nice religious activity to please you. But that's not what God said. He couldn't care less about your religious idea. I could come and out a list of exemplification of that, but I won't today save you that. Now, see, Saul blamed others, but was wrong in his understanding because his heart was cutting off the truth from what was said. It was his responsibility to tell the people what to do. People didn't hear from God themselves. He was the mouthpiece. He should have been the mouthpiece of God's ideas, and he was not. Okay? So if you disobey the word of God, all the religious activity that you can do are a waste of time. Should I repeat that again? They not only are a waste of time, but make the situation worse. Okay? Why they make the situation worse? Because you will lose the action, okay, that you do to justify yourself. Says, you know, that was a good thing. We were going to do an offering to the Lord. Oh, you know, I prayed a lot. You know, I did all this other thing. I went to church. I did a special offering to the church. God didn't ask you to give a special offering. God did change that title in your life. Wouldn't it cost you anything? You are gaining everything. I saw that. Okay. So, you see, and we think after that we have done these activities that we feel good about it because, you know, I did my religious stuff. So you actually are stuck there because you have a good reason, according to your own eyes, of what should be done so that you are not really repenting properly. Even if you do, like, Saul did afterwards. You see, the only thing that God wants is to change your mind, to change the judgment that you have. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. See, and when that happens, you are again aligned with God's idea and purpose and want, His will, according to Romans 12. Two, you find out what the will of God is, and your relationship with God is changed right on the spot because your judgment that happened inside you, you know, even before you do anything, you have resolved it. And if you give it the chance, the physical to continue, you're going to not to do that anymore, or you do the right thing. Now, Samuel may continue because this is actually now the teaching, okay, that we must understand to apply to our life. And you will be patient with me because I had to at least finish on this. Praise the Lord. Now here, 1 Samuel 15:22 says, so Samuel says, As the Lord has a great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. So this is really what we have to understand, apply properly. Okay. God's voice speaks to us, give us direction. He speaks to us to correct us, to, you know, direct us, to show us what to do, and to warn us. Okay. But if your heart filters that out, because it doesn't align with it, with God, with God's judgment, then your understanding won't be there. And so you are stuck. You are stuck. Your heart must be trained to listen to God. It's not going to be natural for you to respond the right way because our nature that is flesh. Our flesh want to control things. Okay. So that we had to start. Where do you start? Where you start dealing with the issues that separate you from God? You cannot start any places where you are. Don't expect to hear anything from God that is what you want. Because He is talking to you already about what He wants. And if you don't make a decision on the things He wants, you are going to be stuck forever. Because God is more stubborn than you are. Because He cannot change. Your stubbornness is a problem. His stubbornness is a good thing. Okay? Praise the Lord. See, now what has to happen, you know, you have to start accepting the process that has to start inside you so that you are going to be listening to God and listening to what God said and making the decision that the specific decision he wants to do, because that is what he wants. And he doesn't want anything else. You know, if you don't do the basic things, you don't try to, you know, it's the same thing. You cannot do something that's beyond you. What he expects you, because it's fair, because you know where you are, because you know what the problems are, because you know what your blockage are. He wants to deal with that blockage so that you are free to hear more. And until you deal with that, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. You are going to stay there and rot in the place you are, because he is not going to respond to you, and you are going to say, I don't hear from God. Now, he does that not according to our judgment, according to his judgment. He's patient, he's kind, he's loving. So, you know, he is not mean in this process. But at the same time, he operates according to principles. And so, you know, he's not going to change your principle just to please you. Okay? Because he wants your good. That's simply the reason why. Because he knows that unless, you know, that's the problem with lots of people, what they do, you know, ministers, you know, that they preach messages for people that are really, you know, without asking commitment, without asking things, without asking speaking the truth, and they, you know, they talk flesh, and they think that by talking flesh and I'm motivating with flesh reasons, the people are going to grow. No, they're going to be stuck there, getting nowhere, and have the deception of thinking they are even saved when they aren't. So say a little prayer, and it's going to fix everything. Yeah, sure. You don't even know what you're talking about. So, this is critical, because otherwise we live in religion, not in relationship with God. God wants people to relate to him the way Adam did before he fell, the way Moses did when, you know, broke through, and the way Paul did after he was saved. And he heard from God. He wanted to go one place. God said, stop, go to the other place, the other direction. Do you think God has changed? I know he isn't. All the time, I want to go in direction, you know, and yeah, this way. Yes, sir. You know better. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, our stubbornness is nothing else than the attachment to stay with things, to the attachment of the idols that are blocking us. Okay. In fact, here, for rebellion, yeah, verse 23, sorry, I had to read that first. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. So he's making the connection there. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you from being king or whatever things that he wanted to do with you. Okay? So that's the thing. Okay, rebellion is really doing what you want instead of what God wants. Okay? And they are, you know, are the sin of witchcraft. What is sin of witchcraft? It's trying to have God's power to achieve your purposes. Lots of Christians do that. And they don't know that they are in trouble, because they're in the occult, in a cult, instead of being Christianity. Praise the Lord. You can tell God what you need. He knows much better than you what you need. And if you do what he tells you to do, you're going to get blessed. But you are not caring about, you know, to do what you want him to do. You have to care more about doing what he wants than what you want. The flesh is the problem. See, Saul believed that he was doing God's will or following God's word, but he was completely wrong. And that's what happened to lots of Christians. Today is critical, the way it is, with some of the teaching we're on today. So, we continue here. Verse 24 says, "Then Saul said to Samuel, 'I have sinned, and for that I transgressed the commandment of the Lord, your word, and your word, because I fear,'" and that is the idols coming up, "'because I fear the people and obey their voices.'" Hallelujah. See, this is the problem. I mean, fearing a man, pleasing men, pleasing people, is why people preach the wrong thing. And they are in witchcraft, not Christianity. That's what the prophet said. And I'm full agreement with him. Praise the Lord. Okay. I covered enough to prepare for next week, in which I'm going to deal with how God speaks to us. And God doesn't speak to us in only one way. You know, God is the guy that, you know, has every snowflake different. So he's not going to have be always the same thing. He's not going to have 1, 2, 3. That's not the way God thinks. Okay? Praise the Lord. He has a lot of imagination. And we have to, you know, catch up with him. He cannot go according to a formula. If you go according to a formula, you're never going to listen to God. Okay? But we have to listen to him. Okay? Otherwise, we are going to have the same problem that Saul had. Now, Saul didn't have the Holy Spirit. If you are a born-again believer, you should have the Holy Spirit, and the job of the Holy Spirit is to talk to you. I mean, it says, John 16:13, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come," not the Spirit of your idea, "Spirit of truth has come, you know, he will guide you into all truth, and will speak on his own," not speaking on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will tell you things to come. And he's always going to tell you things according to the word. He's not going to come up with nothing new, because that's what his job is. So that you know the truth that's been given to us, and that's all we need to know. Praise the Lord. He will guide you, you know, with direct interaction, speaking with you, you know, the way he did with Adam, Moses, Israel, Joseph, Jesus, you know, and all the Peter, Paul, and so on. And we are going to get more into that tomorrow, the next week. You get anything today?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So let's pray together. Okay, but let's not make a prayer, you know, like when many of the people pray, "Accept the Lord," they accept nothing. Mean what you say. Okay? Know what you're saying. And apply it practically to your life. All the consequences of it. Because I hope you start to see some of the consequences. I mean, Saul has serious trouble. Because he just couldn't see. Because he just fooled himself. Okay? He pleased the people instead of pleasing God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. I'm open to listen to what you want to say to me. I'm open to obey you, because I know that this is the only way to please you. I rejoice for what you already have done in my life. And now, Lord,
I ask you
to help me
to make the right
decisions,
to see the judgment
in my heart
so that I may
change them.
And I thank
you
for the impact
that
that's going to have
on my life.
Because I trust
you,
because
I believe in you,
because
I believe in your
word
and
what Jesus did for
me.
Thank you,
Father.
In Jesus'
name I pray.
Amen
and
amen.
Praise the Lord.